whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. Have life everlasting. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God did not send his Son into the world to bring condemnation, but rather that through the receiving of him life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, have life everlasting, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for tonight, Lord. We thank you, thank you, thank you. And I thank you, Lord, it went over really well. There was a big, big crowd tonight, Lord. Thank you for everyone that came. They were greatly blessed, Lord. I got tremendous feedback at the end. So the book of Revelation is coming alive to people, Lord. They're beginning to understand it. And I pray that it be a great blessing to them. And in the remaining time here, Lord, that we'll all be blessed also because of your word. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So it went great tonight. I showed them poster for Saturday. I'll be speaking in Pakistan. And all the pastors are on that poster. You saw that, Sister Kathy, right, this morning? Showed it?
Yes, right.
I like it.
Yeah, and they were like blown away. The pastor had seen it because he's the tech man, but his wife hadn't, and no one else had. And they were like, when they saw all those pastors that are involved and my picture up there, and it's in Pakistan, and so... they prayed for me at the end. They prayed for me at the end that great blessings would happen preaching this Saturday. So it was a really good time. So the very end, I'm walking out and this woman stops me and she basically was against everything I taught and that nothing I taught was, real. It's all spiritual. There is no physical Babylon. It's all spiritual. So I said to it, look, they're standing afar off and the smoke is pouring up out of the city because God just judged it. And so what more do you want than it? How do you spiritualize that? And I said, it's all literal and I don't want to talk to you about it spiritualizing because I'm sorry to tell you, but it's nonsense. That was like the last thing I said when I was walking out. But she couldn't wait to confront me that she won't say a false teacher, but I was teaching all wrong and she was going to show me my error. It's all spiritual. The book of Revelation is all spiritual. Nothing is like literal in it. I said, oh, I don't have time for that. Okay. So we're going to take a look here. I heard someone praying for anyone having a broken heart to be healed. And this here is the, Sister Sharon, there you go. The picture's for you. Sister Kathy, is there still a big delay? This morning the delay was how long? 2-3 minutes?
It was 2 minutes, but Sharon doesn't have her computer, so she won't be able to see anything.
All right. You can relate to little knobby-kneed Johnny, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, there we are. That's just for Sharon.
And well, too bad she can't see it.
All right.
She's visualizing it in her mind, though, I guarantee you.
Well, she's seen it so many times through the years that...
Oh, and you sent her a copy, didn't you?
I believe I did.
Yeah, so she's got her own personal knobby knees.
All right. Now, this Saturday, I'm going to be preaching in Pakistan. And there's two topics. The first one, they want me to preach on the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The second part I'll be preaching wow. on is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Now, my take on the ministry of the Lord is Luke 4:18, and it's in two parts. The first part is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, the gospel is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, like verses 1 through 5. And basically, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So that's what the gospel is. That's what we need to believe, that Christ died for our sins and he bodily rose from the dead. So, looking at that here, applying the gospel there to Luke 4:18. So the first part, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. There's the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. But the second part is also the gospel, and that's he bodily rose from the dead with power, and he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, part of he rose with power is what heals the brokenhearted. It's the resurrection power that heals the brokenhearted to preach deliverance to the captives. That's the deliverance to the captives is strongholds in the mind. And those strongholds can be a whole bunch of things, lots of sin. It can be strongholds of fear, hatred, anger, unbelief. And the list can go on and on and on. Well, we're delivered from it the same way by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now, when you look at that word bruised and you compare, bruise is a good translation, but the bruise is in the lines of being crushed. You know, not a little mark on your arm of a bruise. Now, this bruise would be like from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, one big bruise. It's crushed. Now, when you look over where this came from, the Old Testament scriptures in Isaiah 61:1, it means to let those that are in prison free. And we are imprisoned by Satan. We are pressed of Satan, crushed by Satan. So he came to deliver the captives and to set at liberty them that are oppressed of the devil. Them to set at liberty them that are bruised, pressed of the devil, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord is right now. This is still the acceptable year of the Lord. It will end at the rapture, when then it goes into the tribulation period, which is a whole different way of God dealing with people for salvation. But that is the that will not the acceptable year of the Lord will end when we go to be with the Lord. So Luke 4:18 then is the death of Jesus Christ for sin. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he bodily rose from the dead. Now, Romans 6:4-5 talks about the gospel. And then it says that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life. As we were buried with his likeness unto his death, we're also raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So he was resurrected in power, and bondage had no hold over him. So the gospel then is that we are to, when we come to Christ as our Savior, we're to walk in great liberty. That great liberty is not to sin. That great liberty is we're to be free in Christ through his resurrection power of things that are so common to us today. Fear, depression, loneliness, rejection, you know, people in bondage to like hatred, bondage to anger, you know, bondage to drugs, alcohol, immorality. The resurrection power is what breaks them. That's walking in the newness of life. So that is what I preach in Pakistan and in Asia, wherever I'm able to, in East Africa, mostly East Africa, especially Kenya. And we need to do it, folks. We need to preach that resurrection power. Otherwise, we can have powerless Christians that are in bondage. And they can't be really effective, well, not fully effective for the Lord, because of the bondage. And I've shared that many a times. That was me. I was in bondage to a broken heart, full of loneliness, and didn't know it. I didn't know I had a broken heart, and I really didn't know. I guess if someone would have grilled me, the loneliness would have come out, but I didn't go around kind of like thinking, I'm so lonely, I'm so lonely. But yet, if you boil it all down, I was, and that all went back to that broken heart from what had happened back in the days when I was young, and it carried through the rest of my life when I came to Christ. In 1974, I had eternal life from my belief in Jesus as my Savior. But that second part, the resurrection power, did not operate in my life. But now when I minister, again, they go together. I don't separate it. I don't separate Christ dying for our sins from you bodily rose from the dead. It all goes together. And I believe that that's what's triggering this response in, like now, I'll be preaching in Pakistan on Saturday, and also the Muslims. We've got an event coming, building in March, really the same thing with the imams. The imams are beginning to get tremendous feedback about people that were depressed or no longer depressed. They're not fearful. They have assurance of eternal life. They're joyful. They're looking for Christ's coming. Many of them have been healed, set free of curses and all. And they're telling the imams this. And the imams are hearing it, and they want to hear. The imams want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that power, when that power goes out like that, the imams can't deny it. They don't have that power. The imams have nothing. The Hindu priests have nothing. You know, the pagans have nothing. So God has given us a tremendous tool, and I would say a weapon, that he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. There's a broken heart cannot be healed apart of Jesus Christ. So that's what's so exciting now, that that power is spreading, and it's got the Muslims' attention. It's got the pastors. We've got 800 pastors and church workers scheduled to come on Saturday because they have been getting feedback about the Luke 4:18 ministry. So I'm hoping that they'll pick it up. First of all, who knows if they have eternal life or not? There's many different, many different like I don't know what you want to call it. Catholic priests are going to come, and Methodists are going to come, Presbyterians, Oneness, Baptists. Jamil mentioned, what's that group there? Salvation Army, Pentecostals. You know, they're all coming. And it's not ecumenical like the world. The world will get together without Jesus Christ. That's ecumenical. With us, it's we're getting together with him. It's the exact opposite of the world's ecumenicalism. Our group, our in getting together, is for the Lord to be exalted and to be into people's lives where they didn't have salvation, they will have salvation. If they lack power, they will have it through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So one of the main things with the Lord, right after salvation, there's a semicolon, and it says he sent me to heal a brokenhearted. So it's very, our hearts being healed are absolutely very critical to God, because we can't function right with a broken heart, folks. Our love is limited. Our power is limited. Our thinking is not completely in line with God's word. So to have fellowship with us, for us to be his little children, and for him to be our Abba Father, we have to have our hearts healed, our minds set free, and being freed from being oppressed of the devil. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, the semicolon, we normally don't pay much attention to grammar, but the semicolon is very important in this particular case here. Its definition is used between two main clauses that balance each other and are too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. So here we're looking at the gospel, and it says that the Lord, he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, semicolon, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So these are like you're in balance when you look at it, like the second part has got the same weight as the first part. And in a sense, that's true because that's all the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says that they're too closely linked to be made into separate sentences. They're one thought. That's the gospel. We should look at the gospel not only as him dying for our sins, but equally balanced with it as he rose from the dead. Now, when you get into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I believe it's verse 24, it talks about if Christ be not raised, you are yet in your sin. You believe in vain. So, as important it is that Jesus died and shed his blood for our sins, it's also equally important that he rose bodily from the dead. That he rose bodily from the dead. Because those two together are the gospel. And I think like that. It took me a while to think like that. That with the gospel to me is the first part. He died for our sins according to the scripture. And the second part, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. So when I'm preaching the gospel, talking about the gospel, I work both of them together in there. And tremendous draw of the gospel to people that are severely depressed and full of fear, lonely. Those are the three big things that really are affecting people today that are all around us. We see all those research about so very significant portion of the population are deep in fear, panic attacks, some of them are also severely depressed, or by themselves they're depressed, not attached with fear, but oftentimes fear and depression go together. A huge amount of the people are full of depression, and lonely, another huge group are lonely. But the gospel addresses all of that. The people that are full of fear and lonely and depressed, very well may be at the root of it is a broken heart. It may well be that they're being oppressed of the devil. So God wants them free. God wants them free. So that's why the two main clauses balance each other. And they're too closely linked to made into separate sentences. Beautiful definition there, or explanation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these are a couple more to show how important that semicolon is there in Luke 4:18. Well, let me read the scripture. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All right. With that semicolon, two independent clauses that are somehow linked. So, him dying for the sin, our sins, and being raised from the dead are separate, but there's independent clauses that are linked. They're linked because that's the gospel. The semicolon applies that the second clause clarifies or expands upon the first. Yeah, the first, he died for our sin. And then it expands because there's a second part, that's he rose bodily from the dead. The semicolon tells the reader that the second clause is closely linked to the first one. Yes, because they both make up the gospel. It is used to join two independent clauses into a sentence. Yeah, they join because together they are the gospel. Semicolon shows that the ideas in the two clauses are related. Yes, they're related because the two together make up the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the semicolon there, its presence, shows how powerful the two clauses are joined together. Now, this is Isaiah 61, verse 1. And this is the verse that the Lord was sharing in the temple or the synagogue when it's recorded in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, semicolon. There, he anointed me to preach good tidings. He anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And it's very interesting, that word meek, because it talks about, the meek shall inherit the earth, and meekness is very important to the Lord. I would say the opposite of meekness is like pride. So it's good tidings unto the meek, those that will accept and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are the meek of the earth. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, there you go. Isaiah 61:1, right after the first part of the gospel, we got the second part. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those that are in bondage to strongholds in their mind, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. In the Luke, it says they're crushed, those that are crushed, set at liberty those that are crushed. And here, in the opening of the prison to them that are bound, that being bound means oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. That's the gospel right there. Isaiah 61:1, Luke 4:18. They're both saying the same thing from a little different perspective. The poor is talking about spiritually poor, and here it's the meek of the earth. And then they preach, they set at liberty them that are crushed, and here, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Crushed in prison, oppressed of the devil, Jesus came to open that prison so that we can be freed. That is through the gospel. Isaiah 61:2, there's more to it, because with Isaiah, verses 61, 1, 2, and 3 are all one concept. They're all joined by semicolons. Isaiah 61:2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Well, the acceptable year of the Lord is the same as it's in Luke 4:18, and that is when the church is here on the earth. That's the acceptable day of the Lord. And the church is still here. We haven't gone to be with the Lord. So that's the acceptable year. Anybody can come to Christ at any time now, and they can be in any type of bondage. They can have any type of past, evil, terrible past. If they're willing to repent and to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, this is the acceptable year. And to come under the gospel, the day of the vengeance of our God is the tribulation period, and to comfort all that mourn. Now, when we look at the second day here, and to comfort all that mourn, the Isaiah 61:1-3 is more in depth than Luke 4:18. You know, Luke 4:18 ends with to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Otherwise, they're pretty well the same. It doesn't touch the day of the vengeance of our God, but it says he's come to comfort all that mourn. Now, in the next verse, which is verse 3, you're going to see mourn or mourning mentioned two more times. So here in Isaiah, about the Lord's ministry, he has come to, putting in context here, God is very concerned about us mourning. Because I'm going to show you shortly, mourning can really take us in a bad tailspin into depression and anxiety and sorrow and grief and all. So Jesus Christ came to comfort all that mourn, and really now it's done through a person of the Holy Spirit. To appoint unto them, now look at this, that mourn in Zion. Zion is God's land, folks. God's presence. And it's pretty strong to be mourning in God's land and his presence. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Now that ashes is like things burn up, they create ashes. And to give unto them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. Now this mourning again. So there's three times in two verses touching the ministry of Jesus Christ, that mourning is mentioned. The oil of joy for mourning. So anything connected with mourning, sorrow, grief, rejection, all anything that causes mourning, God's remedy for it is the oil of joy, covering. The oil like that covers us. The oil of joy for mourning. The Bible says that about joy, hang on here, it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if we are full of mourning, we get very weak. We can be spiritually very, very weak. And God's remedy for that is the oil of joy. That's from the Holy Spirit. for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So the spirit of heaviness is like a pall that comes all over us. Heaviness can be from loneliness. It could be from mourning. The mourning drains all of the joy out of us. The garment of praise, now garment covers us. So the Lord covers us praise and joy, praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we praise God for everything, folks. We praise God for his love for us, for his peace. We praise God for victory. We've got to stay on his side, folks. We can't allow ourselves to get dragged over onto Satan's kingdom where there's suffering and lack of joy, no peace and all. So we have to stand our ground, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment, remember, garment covers us. So the garment of praise, thanking the Lord, praising to him, giving him all the glory. We must live in that rather than the mourning, sorrow, grief. Now, when all of that leads to this, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. Now, the trees there are like the cedars of Lebanon, and they're strong, they're powerful. So all that we're looking at up to this point leads us to trees of righteousness. Strong, that means strong in the Lord, trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord, this is the Lord's work. He's working his will out through us, the planting of the Lord. That righteousness, trees of righteousness, it's the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So folks, when the Lord healed my broken heart, he was glorified through that. There, I had great limitations in me because that broken heart, I could only go so far. And now, once he healed my heart, there were no limitations. I don't look at any limitations. And the Lord, like sharing about speaking Saturday there to all those pastors and assistant pastors and evangelists and all, I would not have been able to do that years ago. The bondage wouldn't allow me to do it. I wouldn't have the message. When I teach about healing the brokenhearted, I do that from personal experience. I wish I knew the date. If I had a diary, I could have looked in the diary, but I didn't. But I remember reading a book by Elizabeth Marquand, and she wrote a book, Between Two Worlds, The Lives of Children from a Divorce. And immediately I was interested in it because that was my background. Mother and father had been divorced. So I heard her speak, and I heard enough to think, wow, about healing a broken heart. It started to make me think about myself. And I remember reading over Luke 4:18, and I saw the broken heart there, and it didn't resonate inside me. However, when I did read her book, she said that I don't know how many people she interviewed that came from a divorced family. A lot she interviewed to do her research. And she said everyone that she interviewed had a broken heart. And she was a Christian. She talked about how divorce was against God's word and it really impacted the children. Then it came alive in me. When I read what she wrote in the book. So when I finished the book, I closed it, and it was a simple prayer. God, basically what I said is, God, if you're reading this book, I believe that I have a broken heart. If I have a broken heart, would you please heal it? That was it. Oh, that's almost I don't know how many years ago now, 20 years ago. That's probably pretty close to verbatim. It was a very simple, short prayer. And sure enough, it was about 3 weeks later, a month at the most, somewhere around there. I started to tear up real easy. And the tearing up was with this like free-floating loneliness. It wasn't necessarily I was missing anyone or anything. It was just this awesome feeling of loneliness. And that was what was at the core of my broken heart, loneliness. And then it like touched me. It left. It just came off me. It's loneliness. And I look at that loneliness as the spirit of heaviness in Isaiah 61:3. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So that loneliness came off me, and I was a new man in Christ. There was this freedom about me now. And then the Lord opened up doors. He actually put me into healing the brokenhearted ministry. Until here I am today, and there's no way that I could be here the way the Lord has brought me here, except my heart was healed. There's just no way it could be done. So I don't know how many people feel what I felt, but that healing my broken heart was the Lord pulled that spirit of heaviness off me, to his loneliness. So very thankful for him for that. But the sad part, folks, is I really went outside the church. Well, the Lord went outside the church to get to me about broken heart was the source of the problem. And once he touched that broken heart and healed it, it's like a shot out of a cannon, folks. And there's many, many, many people that are like that. Many. So it's exciting to what the Lord's doing. It's exciting to see the tremendous work in Pakistan, in Kenya, in Tanzania, in Nigeria. I was talking to Pastor Abel in Nigeria, and they have an event. They're scheduling an event for March 15th in Nigeria. It'll be the same thing, preaching the ministry of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Muslims in that area. So each time I preach there, we've had significant amount of Muslims come to the Lord. So that's the full, he sent me to heal a broken hearted there, which is in Luke 4, 18, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Is the fullness. Isaiah 4:18 in Luke there. Luke 4:18. It's a little bit abbreviated, but in Psalm Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, that's the fullness of what the Lord came to do. He came to free us from the spirit of heaviness. He came to free us from the bondage of mourning. He came to heal our broken hearts, to set our minds free, to open the prison from being oppressed to the devil. That's a lot of good stuff, man. That's a lot of good stuff. There's billions of dollars in psychiatrist bills right there for people with suffering here without the Holy Spirit healing them on the inside. So that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So every time our heart is healed, or people's hearts are healed, that he might be glorified by it. Give him the glory, freeing us from bondage. And the last thing here I want to look at is how dangerous mourning is. Now, we can have, there's a natural part of us that mourns. We're made in God's image and likeness. Remember, with the Lord, when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, when he was going to raise him from the dead. It said Jesus wept. There was great sorrow in him about what happened. It was a form of mourning. He was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. So synonyms are agonize, anguish, grieve, hurt, sorrow, suffer. Now, anguish and agonize, really strong words for mourning. So, yeah, mourning can go beyond the surface, and it can go really deep where we're agonizing and we're in anguish. See, the Lord wants to give us the oil of joy. He doesn't want us to go down that road to agonize and anguish. It could be some serious things that have come into our life, but he doesn't want us to agonize and go into anguish. Why? Well, let's go to the secondary level. What's beyond agonizing and anguish? Affliction, distress, look at this, anxiety. Following that is heartbroken, wailing, weeping. So mourning is the open door for us to go way beyond it and to go into a bad spiral down where the people can be in anxiety and they can end up with a broken heart, wailing and weeping. So there's no need for us to go into that because Christ came to heal our broken hearts and to free us from mourning, sorrow, grief through the power of his resurrection. The joy of the Lord is our strength, filled with his joy. And his joy will protect us from that bondage of affliction, distress, anxiety, heartbroken, wailing and weeping, which can come from mourning. All right. I think we've covered enough here. Haven't taught really on healing the brokenhearted in quite a while, but it's a huge, I look at healing the brokenhearted. There's statistics out there of like huge amount of Americans are depressed. It's like 30%, something like that, maybe more. However, it concentrates in some areas like college women up to, well, it's getting older now, up to about 35 or so are like the most depressed people in America. College background for a female, and it depends upon, I guess, maybe what curriculum you're in, can be the path to severe depression. Another section of society, high anxiety. They're worried about a lot of things. They're worried about war, worried about finances, worried about maybe their health, the COVID shots and all of that. They're full of anxiety. And there's others, huge part, and it's all through society, but especially the older, or real bondage to loneliness. And all three of them can kill. And that loneliness can kill us at a young age, folks. And fear and anxiety can lead to heart attacks and other diseases. So the Lord wants us free from all of that. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. No drugs can heal us. There's no types of methods that can heal us. God's tool is Jesus Christ came to heal a broken heart. There's nothing in Islam, zero. Nothing in Hinduism, zero. Nothing really in like religion, whether it's a Christian religion or Judaism, it cannot be healed. Nothing in Hinduism. Drugs can temporarily mask it. But as soon as there's no drugs, that brokenhearted, yep, people have to face it. And fear that's in that heart, depression that's in that heart, loneliness that's in that heart. So we've got the tool, folks. Nothing on earth can heal a brokenhearted except Jesus Christ. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So we want to use it, folks. I have that brochure, Jesus Christ Came to Heal the Brokenhearted. It's a tremendous tool, folks, tremendous. I was told there's a woman, Alex is her name, she's Spanish. She goes to Cuba, and she goes a couple times a year, and she does missionary work there. So when she goes, I give her the as much Healing the Brokenhearted brochures as she can take. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 50, maybe 100 the most. And she hands them out. And she gave testimony about pastors reading it. And then and people in like nursing homes and other places, they read it. And they're actually memorizing the verses and the prayer to receive Christ and have the heart healed. And they're acting as evangelists. And pastors are like, they preached it in their church. You know, incredible, folks. Incredible. So there it is. God's using it in Cuba. So many are depressed in Cuba under communism. And that broken heart healing, Healing the Broken Hearted brochure has found a home there, folks, to the point where they're memorizing the prayer at the end that I put in and the verses in it. And they're going out and preaching it to others. Amazing. Amazing, folks. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All right. I guess that's the end of my little sermon there. What a tool we have. Healing sent me to heal the brokenhearted. All right. Let me go over to our Uber chat room here. And there I am. Okay. So we have, Rita with us, and we have Sharon with us, and it looks like Gigi and Randy. All right, Sharon.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be here and to hear you talk about this again. And it just, it's making more and more common sense to hear you teach it.
Okay. I'm glad that you were exhorted. Would I say exhorted?
Okay, say again.
I said, was the message exhorting? Sharon, the message.
Yeah, I didn't put anything down there like that, did I?
Excuse me? Yeah, Sharon? Hello?
Oh, it's a chaplain, I'm right here.
Yeah, okay. That's all right. Well, I'm glad that you were blessed by the message.
Yeah. That's absolutely. Nice. And it's still like being taught again and again and re-given to you.
Excellent.
And people will, you know, learn it, and they'll figure it out, you know, and come to Christ.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, people with a broken heart definitely could be led to Christ because they have their heart healed, but then also they pay be free from the penalty of sin.
Right.
Yeah. So healing the broken hearted definitely could be the tool to lead the person to the Lord. But in my life, I came to the Lord in 1974, August 4th, 1974. And for years afterwards, about 30 years afterwards, I never remember hearing a gospel message about healing the broken heart. No teaching, no testimony. It never entered my mind that I might have had a broken heart. Never. You know, I never heard anybody preaching on the dangers of divorce and what it could do to children, you know, never. So it was 30 years kind of in the wilderness. And then the Lord got me the message through Elizabeth Marquand, a Christian psychologist that was studying what happened to children from a divorce. It was about 30 years. And at that point, I gave a little testimony a while ago, he healed the broken heart, which the way I look at it now, it could have been done at the time I came to Christ. So I'm glad it my heart was healed when it was healed. But we should be preaching that to people that we lead to the Lord. You can have assurance of eternal life and have your heart healed. You can be set free from bondage inside, you know. So that's one of the things I'm like exhorting here, especially the preachers, to preach Luke 4:18, the fullness of it. Thank you, Sister Sharon.
I'm just glad that we're all able to go through this as many times as it needs for a person, because it might take one person 2 or 3 times to hear it, and another person over 100 times to hear it.
That's true.
Chaplain.
It's true. That's absolutely true. Okay. Well, God bless you now.
God bless.
And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Rita.
Good evening, Chaplain John.
Is Scooter with you?
Yes, he is. He's laying right next to me.
All right.
He's quiet. He is. How can I describe Scooter in one word? He's a little imp. Like, he'll be on the end table or on the nightstand, and he will knock it off if he's able to. He's a little imp. I've had him for, I think, almost 14 years.
Oh, I thought he was young.
Oh, no, he's not young. He still has a lot of energy, but he's not young. But I thank the Lord God for him. He has brought enjoyment to my life.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. I've had a cat now for many years, and they've always showed up to my house, and it's always around September. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. The one now we have is called Shadow. Shadow is.
Oh.
All right. Anything about healing a broken heart?
I'm very blessed each time I hear it. So thank you. Thank you for teaching it.
Good. I'm glad you're blessed.
Yes, it blesses me every time, because I believe I had a broken heart, so I am blessed by it.
Okay. Yeah, and you can never be too old to have your heart healed.
Right.
And
That's true. No
matter how bad it's been hurt, how many times, how deep, it doesn't matter. It simply says he sent me to heal the brokenhearted.
Well, there's healing in the blood of our Savior.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So thank you very much.
Okay.
I really appreciate you, Chaplain John.
Well, thank you. You're an integral part of the ministry here, so.
Okay, thank you for that.
Bye now. Bye.
Goodbye.
And then let's see if Michael. Yeah, Michael. No good, Michael. Speech. No good. All muffled. Okay, Gigi and Randy. That might not be you. Well, we got about 10 minutes left, and I think what I'm going to do is play a couple songs, and then we'll call it a night tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. We have prayer. I stream in the morning, so you can call in and be a part of it or watch on Rumble. So let me get over to YouTube here, and we'll get some songs. All right, the title of it is I Have Decided to Follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
decided singer.
That I'll be faithful. Pray for me.
Well, God bless everybody. If anyone has a broken heart, you can email me. The number is up there on the screen, mct911@aol.com. And just in the subject, put prayer. If you would like some of my brochures about healing the broken heart, you can email me again and put your name and mailing address there. Or if you know anyone that maybe needs to have their heart healed and you want to meet me to talk to them, you know, obviously they have to be agreeable, contact. So I prayed with enormous amount of people through the years, folks. Right? Well over a thousand. And then in churches, I mean, huge numbers, but individually, 1,000 to 1,000s of people, certainly more than 1,000. Well, God bless you. And remember, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave life everlasting, gave life everlasting, his life everlasting, his life everlasting. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son.